Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me are my guys, Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates. Find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Gentlemen, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm good. I got a quick story to tell. I think Yates will find joy in this one, too. My son, we were putting him to bed last night, and obviously we're just past all the Christmas stuff, and he's still talking about Santa Claus for whatever reason. And he goes, hey, he's like, just in case Santa Claus comes when I'm sleeping, you could tell him it's okay to wake me up. I was like, buddy, I don't know how to tell you this, but we have another 11 months before he's coming back.
Does he legitimately think that Santa Claus is still going to come at this point? Or?
I think he does. In his own little mind, he's made up the story that he's coming back.
Yeah, that's sad. We have taken to bribing my children and having them earn money because they're like, Santa didn't bring me this Avengers figure. And we're like, well, you know, mom and dad can get you that Avengers figure if you shovel the driveway full of snow. You know, you can earn $5. I feel like they're like Shroot Bucks. I'm like, you've earned 17 yes. Shroot Bucks today for doing your work. And 1 million Stanley Nichols. But
I was about to say Stanley Nichols.
Yep. Stanley Nichols. Yeah. What's the ratio of Shroot Bucks to Stanley Nichols? Yeah, so anyway, it's great. The kids are basically doing all the household chores and, you know, Santa's a nice little motivator, but that's fine. Yates, how about your son? Is he over Santa Claus or what?
He doesn't know that's cool. At this point at 2.5. So okay. Yeah, no, he's good. He's just falling asleep every single night and no questions. So God, we're good to go.
You have it so easy. All right. So look, there is no more regular season football. There is no more fantasy football season other than DFS for this year. So what we're going to be doing today is we're going to talk about some predictions that we made in the preseason, talk about some that we got right, some that we got wrong heading into the season. And then we're also going to be doing some playoff predictions. Now, I think we can speak to our audience, who's a dedicated group of listeners. They've been listening all season long. We can be honest. You two dudes were podcasting nonstop pretty much the entire year. You were making big predictions. You were getting out there, and I was more like the Nate Sudfeld of the group a little bit. I jumped in real late. I injected some pretty solid mediocrity into the podcast right when you guys were like a well-oiled machine. So, I mean, like, if we want to talk about in-season predictions, there's a Logan Thomas Award waiting for me without question. But preseason, you know, you guys were super high on some guys. I won't name any names, but they may rhyme with Mayjay Green and Manu Smith and stuff like that.
Boy.
But I'm not as cool. I wasn't as out there, you know, with you guys because I wasn't podcasting that much early on. But we were able to compare our rankings, our draft rankings, to the expert consensus rankings. So we were able to see some guys specifically that we were higher on or lower on. Generally speaking, guys, you looked at that report with your rankings. Were you guys happy? It doesn't have to be the huge hits and misses or anything like that. But generally speaking, I'll start with you, Tags and Yates. Were you happy when you were looking at where you are versus ECR as to how things shook out, or unhappy?
Overall, I'm pretty happy, I would say. There's definitely some misses we're going to talk about. I'll try and explain myself through the misses more than the hits, because when it comes to hits, I don't know. I've been on other podcasts before where they'll ask me, like, what was your biggest, you know, hit this year? I'm like, I don't like talking in retrospect, because a lot of people can talk about, you know, the things they did right on. I would rather be more interested in the wrongs that I did, because I want to learn from those things. And I want to say, what did I miss and what did I screw up? And that's what I really am looking forward to that portion of the show today.
Okay, well then, you know what? I don't even want to hear about your hits at all. Let's just spend the whole time talking about just your misses. Yates, what about you? You looked at the report. Did you feel generally happy, you think, with how it came out versus ECR?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing as tags. Like, this was my first year, right, full-time in the fantasy space. So I wanted to come out and really succeed and make sure that I at least hit on some of these guys. And I feel like I did that. But like Tag said, there are definitely misses, and we're going to be talking about those. And those are just an opportunity for us to learn and grow and say, okay, what were the themes, right? Not necessarily this specific player, because those are just going to vary so much throughout the season, different factors playing. But what were the themes that we can take moving into next year and say, okay, I want to learn from this and make sure that I don't make that same mistake again. So yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that. I'm excited to get into that.
All right, I love it. So we will get into it. Again, I'll sprinkle in my own, of course, but you know, you two were really the faces of the podcast. You were out there, you were giving your solid predictions. I doubt too many listeners could be like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. Dan was super high on that guy, but there are a few notable misses for sure, or hits that I had, so we'll talk about them. But before we get into it, guys, do you want to know who won the James Robinson helmet giveaway?
Yeah.
All right,
was
great.
It you? So,
no, I would like to know as well. It wasn't me. No helmet could, you know, fit on my head, which I would try to wear it probably. But regardless, I would like to know that as well. Unfortunately, I do not know that at the moment. Look, it's New Year's. We've had a couple of moving parts here, so we unfortunately have not been able to sync up and actually draw the name of the James Robinson helmet winner. I'm planning to do it after this podcast, so hopefully we will have the announcement for you shortly. But the good news is we are already running our next contest, even though we don't have the giveaway winner. It is a signed Diontae Johnson jersey. You know the drill. Leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter the contest. And look, if you are listening to us at this stage of the game, you either really like our podcast or you are one of our relatives. And if you haven't yet, it'd be awesome if you just took a second and left us a review if you haven't yet, because we are at, last check, 7,922 reviews, at least on Apple Podcasts. According to my math, that is closing in on 8,000. So it would be a huge milestone if we can get to 8,000 reviews for the podcast. And if we do, by the time we end the Diontae Johnson giveaway, I'm going to let the winner pick a movie for Yates to watch, which was really an unfulfilled goal of mine, Yates. I didn't get you up on the movies at all. So our winner, shucks, if we get to 8,000, is going to pick a movie. Make it a good one. But anyway, that's fantasybros.com/contest. All right, let's start. Tags, I know you want to start with the misses, but I'd like to start with the hit to get us in the good mood. And let's start with you, Tags. Name somebody who you feel like you really got a hit on coming into the season.
I mean, I know Yates is going to share this one with me, is that we were extremely, extremely high on Calvin Ridley. I did not realize the industry had him at wide receiver 17. Cause I didn't really pay too much attention to that report, but that's one that really did stand out to me, just because Calvin Ridley, it was pretty obvious what was happening there in Atlanta. And it was like, you know, we talked about him being the Chris Godwin of 2020, and I had him ranked at wide receiver 9. That's where I finished with Calvin Ridley. I made the case that you could draft him at wide receiver 7 if you wanted to. And I even got in an argument on Twitter, like, this stuff can all go and be looked at, because I put my life out there. I basically put all my opinions out there so you can go through them and figure it out. But I said that Calvin Ridley's better than Chris Godwin, and that was considered like one of the hottest takes before the season. And I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that anymore. Now that we've seen what we have throughout these guys, and it was just more of like, Calvin Ridley is so underappreciated. And everybody said, well, once Julio Jones, once he's done and once he's gone, or when he's not on the field, Calvin Ridley's not going to be very good. He's not going to be as good as a receiver. That's a bunch of crap. You know, when Julio's been out of the lineup this year, Calvin Ridley proved that he is a number one wide receiver. And everybody says that, well, Calvin Ridley has Matt Ryan. Are we positive that Matt Ryan is a truly like elite quarterback, like Hall of Fame quarterback? I like Matt Ryan. I think he's a fine quarterback. I think at the beginning of his career, he progressed as the years went on. But I would not call Matt Ryan a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I'm not going to be saying that, you know, is he better than average? Yes, he's better than average. But Calvin Ridley is special, and he's going to be special for a very long time.
Now, Yates, he must have been one of your hits too, right? I mean, you must have had him way higher than 17th.
Yeah, completely. ECR was 17. I had him at 9 as well, and he finishes the wide receiver 4 on the season. So it was mostly looking at the situation and saying, looking at that defense in Atlanta, How can you not project them for over 600 pass attempts? And if that's the case, there was more than enough to go around, and the talent level of Calvin Ridley. So yeah, looking at looking back, we definitely hit on Calvin Ridley.
So it's hard for me to call Calvin Ridley a miss for me, for sure. I was one spot higher than consensus, but you know, by the time I got on, everybody knew you guys were all aboard the Calvin Ridley train. By the way, it's very satisfying for, at least for me, when I was coming in sort of to this and knowing how high you guys were on Calvin Ridley and just how you knew after a couple of weeks, like, oh, that was the correct call, right? Mm-hmm. That is the correct answer for sure. You guys were right on the ball on that. For me, the thing that was holding me back with him is just, it's very difficult to have two outside wide receivers finish as top 10 fantasy wide receivers. Like, that's just not a typical thing. And I get that the ingredients were there and Ridley is extremely talented. But if you assume that Julio Jones, you know, was going to be healthy, and I don't really like to project injury, although we'll talk about it, that is one of my misses, and that I discounted a player because I just was not in any way confident that he could stay healthy. And I think that we need to own that as fantasy analysts when we do that, that if Julio Jones stayed healthy, it was just very difficult for me to see a scenario where both guys finished as top 10. But kudos to both of you. You're right. I mean, I was a spot higher than consensus. Okay. So let's, you know, I'll take that as a win as well. But yeah, I had him at 16, but kudos to you guys. You guys were on this from the start. You talked about him a ton. So way to go. That's a hit. Well done. Yates, you don't get to talk about Calvin Ridley. Talk about someone else.
Yeah, I'll go with David Montgomery. I wrote an article back in June saying how David Montgomery could be a top 15 running back. And looking at ECR, guys, David Montgomery was ECR 27. I hit him at 19, so I didn't have him as a top 15 running back because at that point you did have Tariq Cohen in the mix, and the offense wasn't projecting exactly great things for it, but finishes the RB4 in half PPR. So again, I don't want to spend a ton of time on the hits here. I do want to spend a ton of time talking through the misses, but David Montgomery, had him higher than ECR, definitely believed in his talent and his opportunity, the volume, right? It was the volume is king argument, and that definitely paid off, especially after Tariq Cohen went down.
Yeah. Tags, where did you have Montgomery coming in? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. He was actually one of my hits as well. I had him down as being one of the best values in drafts. Yep. I have a tweet that was back from June 12th. I had reference for this section is that I put David Montgomery as a virtual lock for 240 carries in this Bears offense. There have been 125 running backs who have hit that mark over the last 10 years. Guess how many of them finished worse than the RB25? None. That was his current draft position when I put that tweet together, and it obviously fell with the question marks surrounding the injury as we went in. And I cannot tell you, if you were to go through this, because it was a big tweet, like there were a lot of quotes on it, a lot of responses, and you could look through it, and a lot of people look really foolish right now because they said, yeah, if you want to lose your league, you'll draft someone like David Montgomery, because he'll finish as the RB25.
Right.
And obviously, you know, people that stuck with him and drafted him, they're really, really happy with the outcome.
Yeah. All right. So I'll talk about briefly one of my hits. And this is funny, guys, because we're talking about it, like where somebody finishes. I mean,
it's
this...
not always right. Tyler Lockett was a bust and a half.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I'll talk about AJ Brown, because Tags, you and I talked about AJ Brown a ton coming in. And I don't know where you ended up with him, Tags, but he was ECR 14. When you and I had our email debate, I had him at 10. That is where I wound up with him. You had him at 16. Now he finished as the wide receiver 14, exactly at ECR. Kudos to ECR. But he missed two games, right? Points per game, he was ninth. And really, the process that I felt like I had on ranking Brown as a top 10 receiver was correct when I looked at it. And so even though technically, look, it's not going to help me because I was higher on him than ECR, and where he finished is going to be right at ECR, it still is something where I felt like when I was thinking about Brown and his fantasy output that we could see this year, it was right on. And again, it was the points I made, Tex. I looked back at our email debate, which, by the way, was great. And, you know, your points were great. And I remember going through and be like, man, Tex is raising some good stuff right now. Maybe I do have him a little too high. But again, the first receiver to put up 1,000 receiving yards in a season with fewer than 90 targets. And he didn't play at least 65% of the snaps until week 9. His final 8-game pace was 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. And I just said, you assume the Titans are going to have, even they don't have to become a leader in pass attempts. You knew they were going to rely on the run, but even if they just come up a little bit from kind of like an historically low mark, that was going to basically obviate a little bit of the natural regression that we were going to see with AJ Brown, and that's kind of what we saw. I mean, his targets went up to 106, his receptions up to 70, more than made up for the fact that his yards per reception went down from, you know, roughly 20 to 15, and 11 touchdowns in 14 games. So for me, even though this is weird, guys, it's kind of a miss a little bit on AJ Brown, because I was bullish on him versus consensus. I think in the end, I get to count him as a hit. What do you think, Tags?
I think it's an in-between. I think that we were both right in our points, and I think that it worked out like right in between. So I think that that was one of the best debates that we could have had, because there legit was an argument to both sides, because AJ Brown is just a freak after the catch, and he proved that again this year. Whereas me, you were buying in on that. You were like, he's an outlier, and I'm willing to bet on that after the first year, and I understood it, but it was more about the run-first offense there, and like, you know, Corey Davis expecting him to take a bit of a step forward, actually being able to work with Tannehill in an offseason. But AJ Brown, I had him at 17, you had him up at 12, he finished at 14. I know it was weird, because right after the after week 16, he was wide receiver 17, and I was like, woohoo! I was ready to dance on tables, but he obviously the last week, it bumped him up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think we were both right. You know, I always liked AJ Brown, the player. And when we had that conversation, I said, I really do like AJ Brown, especially from like a dynasty standpoint. I don't even know which one you'd want, AJ Brown or DK Metcalf, if you had to pick one of them. It's crazy to think that these guys were two former teammates at Ole Miss. Just goes to show how bad their quarterback was. But yeah, I think this could be considered a hit and a miss, because you were right on the fact that he is an outlier and he is going to just break those efficiency metrics. But my concerns were ultimately legitimate, because did he ever finish with a game with more than 9 targets?
I believe he did. I'll look it up.
He may have in week 10. I don't know. I didn't see it, but he may have in week 17. But I think he ended up, there was like almost every game, it was like 9 targets was his ceiling.
Yeah. No. And again, part of it was the efficiency. Yeah, you're right. The last game of the season, which doesn't count for fantasy purposes, of course, he had 11 targets. But before then, yeah, he never finished with higher than 9, but he, you know, never finished, well, one game fewer than 6. But yeah, he was always there. But again, kind of a, you know, the usual Titans thing that we say, right? They break all models of efficiency.
Yep.
All right, we're going to get to the misses, because I know everybody wants to do that. But before we do, you guys know that I stay up very, very late, often working. But now that we have some fewer podcasts, I'm not up quite as late anymore, because I get to get a lot more stuff done during the day. And that means that I can wake up a little earlier and I can have breakfast with the kids. Now, they like chocolate chip muffins, but I mean, if you're watching our YouTube channel, you don't get a physique like this when you're eating all those carbs. Okay, that's not how it works. If I have time, I will make them waffles in the morning with our waffle maker, but that's a lot of work for me. So I kind of save that for the weekends. But for me, you know what's on my breakfast menu. Yates, what am I having for breakfast?
It's got to be Magic Spoon cereal, right?
You're darn right it is. It is Magic Spoon cereal. I've been eating with the kids, so I've kind of been coming down to their level, and I've been on the cocoa flavor lately. But you can go frosted, you can go fruity, you can go blueberry. The best part is it is healthy, no sugar, 11 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It is GMO-free, it is gluten-free, it is soy-free, it is keto-friendly. You don't need to take my word for it. It's 100% guaranteed. You don't like it for any reason, they are going to refund your money. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros, grab a variety pack, use our code fantasypros, you'll also get free shipping. That's magicspoon.com/fantasypros, use the code fantasypros for free shipping. All right, Tags, everybody wants to hear about it. Talk about a miss. What do you got?
I mean, it's AJ Green. I'm going to put that one right up front. And because it was one of the guys I was willing to take a stand on. And, you know, the thought process was, you know, you can go back. So if you ever wanted to wonder how I felt before about every player before the season, I actually wrote an article. It was the Primer Draft Day Edition, where I actually wrote a paragraph on every player before the season to give you an idea as to the floor and ceiling that you could expect with these players. And AJ Green, my stance on him was that the list of wide receivers since 2000 that had produced wide receiver 2 or better numbers at a higher clip than Green were Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, and Odell Beckham. That was it. That was the end of the list. So it was like, okay, this guy's back on the field. The targets are going to get better from Joe Burrow. Yes, we do like Tyler Boyd. He's fine. T. Higgins figured he would take a little bit of time to catch on in the NFL. There was no preseason, a rookie wide receiver. I mean, come on. I felt like he was AJ Green's long-term replacement. And if you were to go back to the start of the regular season started and told people AJ Green is going to finish with over 100 targets, he's going to be 10th in the NFL in air yards, Joe Burrow was going to turn out to be everything that you thought he was going to be, you'd be like, yeah, I'm drafting AJ Green as a wide receiver too. I would have done it all over again, but unfortunately, you know, AJ Green looks like he's worn down a little bit, not generating any separation at all. And, you know, T. Higgins kind of took on the role that I expected AJ Green to play. You know, he just was no longer a dominant wide receiver. And I guess coming off a full year out of the game and someone that also dealt with some injuries going through his career, that's something I should, and it was factored into his price a little bit, to be fair. And that was my point on him, was that where you're drafting AJ Green, which was like, you know, maybe the seventh round, I said that he's not going to wreck your fantasy team if he doesn't pan out. But if he turns into the AJ Green that I think he can be with all those situations, I felt like it was something that was smart to do. I feel like the process was good behind it. It's just Green didn't produce like we thought he would.
All right. So two questions. Well, really one question, I guess, to start, and then one comment. Where did you actually have Green ranked? His ECR was 32 coming into the year.
His wide receiver, I had him at 25.
Okay. All right. I was a little higher on him, too. I mean, I had him 30th. Yates, do you know where you had Green?
I had AJ Green at 40.
Okay. All right. So you were fading him. And was it the age concerns? What was it for you about it?
Yeah, it was the age concerns. It wasn't necessarily so much of T. Higgins. I did have T. Higgins factored in for, I think, 70 plus targets in the offense, but because of how much I figured that they would run four wide. So I thought that there was plenty of opportunity for AJ Green. It was the fact that he was coming off of a complete year off, his age, the injury concerns that he had. Like, it was just enough for me to bump him down slightly. So yeah, I had him at 40.
Yeah, interesting on Higgins. I mean, Higgins was kind of an afterthought in drafts. He was 83rd in expert consensus rankings at the wide receiver position, but I had him 97. So there's somebody who I was fitting. I'm not going to really like put that in and be like, what were you like at that range? Right. It's a little bit like, all right, what are we really thinking? Right. But yeah, I didn't expect all the rookie wide receivers tags. We talked about it, man. Mm-hmm. I was willing to fade all of them, although I was a little higher on rent, like Justin Jefferson. I was a few spots higher. And again, I don't look at consensus when I do the draft rankings, because who knows? Like, draft rankings are also notoriously difficult to do when you're looking at the consensus and stuff like that, because everybody, you know, it varies wild. I think that weekly rankings are a little tighter because we have so much more data with the draft. You know, you're projecting a lot, especially this year where we really didn't have any sense of how things were going to unfold. So tags, I agree. But remember, at the beginning, like, Green was getting so many targets and so many air yards, and we were like, okay, it's all going to happen. And then it just never did. So
yeah,
that's a miss. And I think everybody kind of knew you were high on AJ Green, and obviously didn't fully work out. Let's go to you, Yates. Who's a miss for you?
Oh, let's come out swinging. Jordan Howard. He was RB33 in ECR, RB21 in my rankings, boys. Finished as the RB89. this is really, it's so frustrating because, again, like I mentioned earlier, like, I want to sit down and I want to identify, okay, what was the theme? What did I miss? Like, what can I take moving into next year? And everything lined up for Jordan Howard. Like, he had the contract. He really didn't have much competition. Matt Breida was pretty high in ECR too. And they just were like, no, we're not using Jordan Howard except for on the 1 yard line. And he'll get the, you know, 3 for -1 yard and 1 touchdown stat line every single game. So I think this is just one that I wanted to call myself out on, because I was so high on him compared to ECR and was just willing to plant my flag on him. And that did not work out.
That was such a bizarre, you know, Miami Dolphins running back situation. Realistically, yeah, I had him at 35. It was something where I didn't like him. And I remember, Yates, you were just like, well, this has just got to be. I mean, this is where it's going to be. And it was just, yeah, I don't know. It was just an ugly season.
Well, it's so, it is so weird because Myles Gaskin was on that roster last year. They didn't utilize him at all. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they turned to him, give him the main workload. Savon Ahmed was on the 49ers roster at the beginning of the season as an undrafted free agent. And then he ended up getting some significant work towards the end of the year. So yeah, it's just a weird situation. Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to toot my own horn too much, but I do have to point out that Myles Gaskin was 102nd in ECR and I had him all the way up at 96th. So just pretty much crushing life at that situation. So this is an interesting, I'd like to get your take on this. One of my misses was Brandon Cooks, and it was a guy that we talked about a lot coming in, and it was really where I was a little lower on Fuller, but Cooks had an ECR of 36, item 45th. He finishes the 28th wide receiver. And I talked about it like with you guys when we were first on. And one of the reasons why I was fading Cooks is just, like I said, it's unfair if you fade a guy and he gets injured where a freak injury or something like that. You know, you fade a guy, he gets injured. You don't really get to take credit for being like, see, I was right. I was fading a guy. But I do think that when you discount a guy because you are concerned about injuries, in Cooks' case, the concussions, which is really what I was really, really concerned about. And then he stays healthy. He missed a game, but he stays healthy for the full season. He has a great year. That is on you as a fantasy analyst, because that is something that I decided to do to recommend to fantasy managers that Cooks is not a guy who I'm willing to draft as a wide receiver three, barely a wide receiver four. And he had a big year, 1,150 yards, six touchdowns. So again, he was a little more consistent once Will Fuller went out. But again, it was really just about the health. Out of curiosity, I want to ask you Yates first, because I know, we talk a little bit about projections a little more. Do you factor in, do you protect everybody for a full 16 games? Do you factor in injuries when you make your preseason projections?
No, I actually have built out my template to be able to play, like factor in the number of games that a player will play. So I can't remember what I did with Brandon Cooks. I had him at 37 and his ECR was 36. So I was right in that range, but I was also, I had Will Fuller at 38. So I really just did not know what to do with this Houston Texans offense and the wide receiver core. But Brandon Cooks, like you're saying, the theme, right? The what do we take and move forward for next year? I think it's valid. I still think that it's fine to factor that in. Now, maybe not so much, right? Comparative to ECR or his ADP, right? Because that's something, too, that we haven't even talked about is where were their ADP, their average draft position at that time. So maybe not to factor it in so much that you just drop them completely down your rankings, but we're going to talk about a player that, like, I faded someone because of injury, and they didn't get injured, but it worked out in a different way. So I guess there's a give and take here.
Yeah. Real quick, Tags, what do you do when you're thinking about players who you have injury concerns with coming into the season? Do you ding them a lot? Do you just assume everybody's going to be healthy for the whole year or what?
So, yeah, I project everyone for 16 games when I go through my preseason projections. And basically that starts the rankings process. And then from there, you have to actually subtract, like with guys that deal with a lot of injuries, you have to lower them. Like Will Fuller, if we went strictly off projections, he would have been a top 20 wide receiver in my rankings. Right. But I couldn't do that. Even looking at Cooks, I mentioned in the draft day primer that there had been 9 wide receivers who have finished as top 24 options in 4 of the last 5 years. Brandon Cooks was one of those guys. The other guys were being drafted as top 20 wide receivers. So Cooks was someone that I at the bottom, I said, there's going to be one of Will Fuller or Brandon Cooks who shines as a top 30 wide receiver with top 20 upside, yet neither are being drafted there. Knowing Cooks has been in this situation before, he gets a vote of confidence. If you land him as your wide receiver 4, you should be psyched. If Fuller misses any time, he'd be a must play wide receiver 2 every week. So all of that stuff kind of turned out to be true. So I felt like I hit Brandon Cooks in the head, but again, there was a reason that he was falling in drafts. There was obviously concerns about it because he didn't have a preseason to work with Deshaun Watson. He didn't have an offseason to work with him. But again, he had been in that situation before where he's just like, he's been swapped to so many teams. He's just like,
honestly. And it is something. And I tried to make that as clear as possible. I had little doubt that Cooks, if he were healthy, would have a solid season with the Texans, with Will Fuller, without Will Fuller. But it was just about, when you get to concussions, especially with how many Cooks has had, that's just one thing that I feel like I really wanted to fade a little bit. And it turned out to be a mistake. So fantasy managers who took my advice, they missed out on Cooks, necessarily because I had him way lower on their boards. So that's a miss by me. Let's get back to the hits, and we can go through it quickly. I know you want to talk more about misses. So quickly, let's go to you, Yates, because Tag started off first last time. Yates, start us off with a hit for you.
Yeah, I'll fly through this one. Robbie Anderson. He was wide receiver 57 in ECR. I had him all the way up at 35, and he finished as the wide receiver 24. So Robbie Anderson didn't deliver in the touchdown department as much as he should have based on his opportunity, but yet he clearly stepped in as the wide receiver 1 in this offense throughout the first part of the season, and then still remained heavily involved as the season progressed. But I was projecting that there was going to be more than enough passing opportunity here. Curtis Samuel really wasn't someone that I was super high on. I actually had DJ Moore up at 15, so which was still lower than ECR, but so I wasn't projecting Robbie Anderson to be the wide receiver 1 in this offense, but yet I still thought that he could see significant opportunity, and at his price tag and where he was being ranked, that was one where I was saying, I'm getting Robbie Anderson as my sleeper every single place that I could, and it paid off.
Yeah, that was a good call by you. Again, we had that actually specific debate, and it was really the, who do you think it's going to be, Robbie Anderson or Curtis Samuel? Turned out it was kind of both. All three of those guys finished as top 27 wide receivers there. But I faded Anderson a little bit. Tags, what was your view on those guys coming into the season, if you recall?
I also had Robbie Anderson as a top 50 wide receiver. I liked him in Matt Rhule's offense. Again, the no offseason thing, a new coach, there had to be some wiggle room there. And it's the reason I faded DJ Moore a little bit. And I didn't have DJ Moore anywhere. I was willing to take Calvin Ridley over DJ Moore, which was, again, that was a hot take before the season.
Right.
But Robbie Anderson, I felt, was probably the best value on that team. I did not want Curtis Samuel. he was someone that I was, it appears that I was just one spot lower than consensus, but I didn't wind up with him anywhere. I didn't want him because I just felt like he was just like an inefficient wide receiver. But it seemed like the Panthers, as the year went on, they figured out how to use him. Whereas Robbie Anderson, I think that there was a learning curve there in that offense, you know, for someone like DJ Moore. And so you've seen Robbie Anderson right out the gate get off to a hot start. Now next year, we should see that growth continue. I think DJ Moore is a clear-cut number one in this offense now, whereas Robbie Anderson, he's a good complementary piece, but I don't think you're going to see him finish as a top 25 wide receiver again.
It was actually really fun to be able to look at where we were versus consensus, because I had no, I had absolutely no idea. Like, I had no idea where we were until we got these reports, right? We were like, hey, can you show us where we were? It's funny, because with Moore, with Anderson, with Samuel, like, I really wasn't that far off from consensus with any of them. I faded Moore and Anderson a little bit. I was a little more bullish on Samuel, but all three guys wound up producing. It wasn't always pretty. It wasn't exactly linear with all of the guys, but they all did wind up producing. So if you drafted any of them, wherever they are, you were overall pretty happy. I think Moore underperformed his expert consensus ranking and all that. But before we keep going, guys, I'm going to tell you a sad story with a good ending. All right. One of our close friends has a son who is a sports nut like mine is. They ordered a ton of sports stuff for the kid for Christmas. And even though they ordered weeks in advance, they got notified leading up to Christmas that, whoops, we're out of stock, not coming. So we had to act quickly. I texted the dad. I said, give me your son's five favorite athletes. So out it came Steph Curry, LeBron James, Klay Thompson, Ryan Tannehill, and Derrick Henry. The kid casts a wide net. I don't know why he roots for those teams, but what can I say? That's what it was. So I went to pristineauction.com. Boom. Signed LeBron jersey. Signed Tannehill helmet. On their way. Delivered in time. Christmas was saved. So in a way, I'm Santa Claus. You're welcome. But that's the thing. This isn't an anomaly. This isn't a Christmas miracle. This is what you can do at Pristine Auction. There are thousands of auctions every single day. The prices are low. It's free to register. It's free to bid. You can get anything you want, whether it's sports or non-sports related. Just go to pristineauction.com. See for yourself. PRISTINEauction.com. If you want $5 in free credits, use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up so they'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. Tags, let's go to you. Who's another hit for you?
I will go with Corey Davis being this year's Devontae Parker.
You nailed this one.
That was a bold prediction I made like in February. And not to say that you needed to draft him like that. He was going undrafted, as a matter of fact. He was going outside the top 60 wide receivers. Now, it didn't help that he had toe surgery in the offseason. He was missing time with the team. So that obviously did it. But it was more of like take him with a late round flyer, one of your final picks, and see what happens, because there was a path to targets in this offense. Like Adam Humphries, not anybody there. If AJ Brown didn't really see the growth that some people saw he did, it's almost like just building in a percentage chance of all this stuff. And Corey Davis was a guy that was drafted as a top 30 wide receiver just like a year ago. So it was like, don't forget that he's a former first round talent. He didn't have any chance to work with Ryan Tannehill when Tannehill took over, because if you go back to the beginning of last season, it was Marcus Mariota that was starting with Corey Davis, where A.J. Brown was working with Ryan Tannehill and the backups. So those two had some sort of chemistry together, whereas Corey Davis, it just seemed like they didn't have it. And then this year started, and you saw Corey Davis kind of become the wide receiver that you kind of hoped. He didn't live up to totally Devontae Parker territory, because he wasn't the number one on this team, but he was pretty damn good for a guy that you got in one of the final rounds.
Now, did you rank him significantly higher than ECR, or was this just something where, again, that advice is certainly worth something regardless, and that should be a hit?
I had him 16 wide receiver spots higher than I had him at wide receiver 55. So the ECR was 71. So he was a late round pick for sure. But it was just like talking about the idea of where you could. Yeah. So 16 spots higher is pretty high, I guess.
That's big. No. That is huge, especially there. That's the difference between somebody who's going undrafted and somebody who you are taking with a late round pick, Tags. And that does make all the difference. Do you guys think that the Titans are going to re-sign Davis now after they declined his fifth-year option?
I was combing through depth charts over the past week, actually, looking at contract situations, and you saw that. Now, he's a free agent. So is Jonnu Smith. Yep. I don't know what they're going to do. They're so thin at wide receiver. Behind A.J. Brown, if they let Corey Davis walk, I mean, you're looking at Adam Humphries, Cameron Batson. Khalif Raymond is even a free agent. So it's like this team is – they have some decisions to make, and – they should re-sign Davis. They really should. Him and A.J. Brown work well as a duo. It's just they cost themselves a lot of money by not picking up that fifth-year option. So, I think they have to do it. I think he's more important to that team than Jonnu Smith is, because Jonnu Smith is just underutilized in this offense.
And as we know, Jonnu Smith is terrible. So, right, Yates? Sorry, I'm just kidding.
What did you say earlier? I loathe you. Yeah.
I just wanted to get a rise out of Yates. I think Jonnu Smith is a fantastic football player. I want to make that clear. Okay, so I will list as a hit, and this is very funny because had he not been released from Jacksonville, I think Leonard Fournette would have been one of my biggest misses because I was very high on Leonard Fournette coming into the year because I just said, you know, he never busted tags, you know, your boom bust and everything in between report, which I loved. He never busted. And I know he was inefficient and he wasn't going to quite get however many targets he got or 76 receptions, whatever it was, but he was getting all the snaps. The Jaguars had no reason but to just use him up completely, assuming that he was on their team. There should be some natural touchdown regression. So I remember the fantasy fest that we do. I was like, I think it was with Andy Behrens where he was like, I'm fading Leonard Fournette. And I was like, I call foul. I like Leonard Fournette. I'm the only one on the Leonard Fournette island. Then he went, you know, he got cut. He went to the Bucks. Everybody got really excited about him when he went to the Bucks. And I agree. I did have him ranked slightly higher than Ronald Jones, but not much. He was ECR 26. I had him 33rd. He finished 37th. It felt like to me.
He finished at 37?
I believe he finished at 37, yeah.
Wow. That's right where I had him. Huh.
Yeah, so, okay, great. He's your hit then. Fine, great for you. But for me, yeah, it was somebody who, and I remember talking about it because people got really excited after he signed. And Tags, we talked about the contract, right? The contract was there for him to basically, they're not signing him. He's not signing that contract unless he thinks he's going to be the guy there. And obviously Ronald Jones had all the issues that he had in the past. But for me, I thought even with a running back, I know it's not nearly the same as a wide receiver or something like that, but it does take some time to get acclimated. Leonard Fournette was not that good as much as I liked his situation in Jacksonville because I thought just the natural regression in the situation would lead to fantasy production. He wasn't, you know, all that special a runner in Jacksonville. And I did think that there was the chance that Ronald Jones could run with the job. And you had to factor that in to his ranking. So for me, not as much at the usual thing where I'm like, look what I did. And Yates is like, really? Well, I did it 17 spots better. That's fine. But for me, I faded Leonard Fournette. People kept asking me about Leonard Fournette, I remember, and I was fading him in the ranking. So Yates, did you agree with, is that what you kind of thought coming in that it was going to be Rojo's job as well or what?
Yeah, I actually had, so ECR for Leonard Fournette was 26, ECR for Ronald Jones was 37. I had Ronald Jones at 31, and then I had Leonard Fournette at 37. So I thought that they were going to kind of split this workload. It was kind of just, all right, let's downgrade each of them because we really just don't know at that point with no preseason, with how late Leonard Fournette was cut. So I played it safe a little bit, but it did pay off with having Ronald Jones ranked higher.
Well, well done on stealing my hit. Let's go to a miss. Tags, give me a miss. Start it off. Go ahead.
I will not give you a miss. All right. So I'm going to actually combine this in two players. And I know it's kind of cheating, but I want to combine the two because it was a similar thought process. Keenan Allen and Stephon Diggs loved both of these players. And you can go back and listen to previous podcasts. And when we talked about them that I didn't want to draft them was because it has nothing to do with their talent. And this is a lesson learned, right? It's undervaluing the talent and saying, get over it. You know, these guys are superstars. They've proven it over and over. Me, it was more like Keenan Allen. I did not like Tyrod Taylor. I did not like the situation there. I felt like the team was not going to throw nearly as much. And that was very, very true in week one. Okay. Now I knew that there was a possibility that Justin Herbert was going to take over that job. I did know that. I figured it would happen probably around week five, week six. I did not, my worry was that Justin Herbert was he was not a mobile quarterback. He's more of a pocket passer. I didn't think he was NFL ready. I felt like he struggled under pressure in college. He didn't have the greatest mechanics when he was under pressure. This Chargers offensive line was terrible. And it was like, I don't see a situation where even if Justin Herbert comes in, that they're going to have a rookie throw the ball 600 times like they did Phillip Rivers. So I downgraded Keenan Allen based on that. And it turned out to be wrong. He became the favorite of Justin Herbert. And he made me look like an idiot. I don't even know what else to say there. And then as for Stephon Diggs, this was more of like, again, him going to a new team, going from a quarterback that was extremely efficient down the field and Kirk Cousins. Cousins is one of the most efficient quarterbacks in football that nobody wants to talk about. He's very good. It's just Stephon Diggs never got the targets that he deserved there. And then you go and you're like, all right, he's going to go to Buffalo. And it's like John Brown is there. Okay, he's a guy that's going to get 100 targets. And you're like, Cole Beasley, he's a player, man. And it's like, they drafted Zach Moss. Does this team want to, their defense was good last year, and it was like, are they going to run the ball more? And you started thinking about it, and Josh Allen, where he really, really, really struggled in 2019 was his deep ball. He could not complete any of them. That's what changed in 2020 with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's always had the mobility. He's always been able to complete the passes underneath to Cole Beasley. It was just he was not completing those downfield throws. Stephon Diggs made the difference, guys. I mean, yeah. Diggs was a superstar. And again, Diggs was someone that I put down before he went to the Bills. I had Stephon Diggs a top 10 NFL wide receiver. I felt like the kid was a stud and that people would have compared him to Antonio Brown if he got the targets that Antonio Brown did. And Diggs got the targets this year, and he proved to you that he's every bit the stud that we thought he was. It's just I didn't see him getting more than 115 targets in this offense. That's basically what it came down to. And again, I just underestimated the talent and how much that should play a part in my projection process.
So where did you have these guys ranked? I mean, I can see, Alan, the way it works with these reports is you can see players who you were higher on or lower on than consensus. I don't see Diggs anywhere on this list, so my guess is I had him at consensus, so I don't know what that number was, but I could see that Allen was at consensus 23. So where did you have both those guys?
So honestly, I thought I'd be lower because, again, this is more based on my feelings and the reason that I dropped them. But Keenan Allen, his ECR was 23. I had him at 24. So it's not like he was way off.
Yeah.
But still, I should have had him higher. And then, let's see, Stephon Diggs, ECR was 27. I ended up with him at 29. So, I mean.
Okay.
That's crazy.
So it's not a crazy fade.
But it's a miss to me. It's a miss to me because it's something I could have done better.
I understand. Now, I mean, Allen would have certainly surpassed his ranking, your ranking, and the consensus ranking regardless. But again, if there isn't the fluke, you know, lung puncture or whatever it was, right? If that doesn't happen, Herbert's not starting probably until at least week 5 and week 6. And I ranked him 19th, so I was a little ahead of consensus. But I think I was more that I didn't think it would be you guys know this about me. I'm very much of sort of I trust the talent. I trust where they are and sort of the matchup and the situation. Of course, they matter significantly. But with Allen, I was just like, it's hard for me to see Allen finishing outside of the wide receiver 2 range. So I was a little up on him, even assuming that I think Tyrod Taylor was going to be at least like the first half of the year. But yeah, I mean, once Herbert came in, it was just a completely different story. And it is fair to note, Tags, that like, that was an injury that happened that caused that to happen. Now, given how much Herbert targeted Allen anyway, you probably would have been wrong to fade him regardless. But I do think that's true. And I will point out, and I will reiterate, you on the Stephon Diggs is one of the most talented wide receivers in the game. You've been on that train forever.
Yeah.
Like, yep. That's definitely something that you said. So it's much more about the situation. Let's go to you, Yates. Give me a miss.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in on the Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm
quick
sorry.
Because it's crazy. I commented that's crazy. I had Keenan Allen at 24, and I had Stephon Diggs at 30. So, okay. And it was kind of the same thing. I mean, so I can go back in my projections, and with Los Angeles, I had them with Tyrod Taylor, projected them for 504 pass attempts on the season. You know what they finished with?
A lot.
627. And then Buffalo, it's the same thing. It's Buffalo I had projected for 496 pass attempts on the season. They finished with 596. So, like, this is, and the reason why I wrote down Stephon Diggs specifically was because I want to, moving forward, I want to follow the offseason moves and what they're telling us. Stephon Diggs, with the Bills trading as much draft capital as they did to go get him, they were signaling that we are going to open things up. We now have the receiver that can open up this offense. And Diggs is going to be the beneficiary. And that's something that I should have factored in. I didn't. I faded him comparative to ECR. So I wanted to learn from that. The other one that I wanted to point out at the wide receiver position as a miss for me was Justin Jefferson. I had him at wide receiver 68 in my rankings heading into the year. And this was primarily in the theme, right? I keep saying this. The thing that I want to take away is that Justin Jefferson missed, what was it, a month of like the offseason program,
It was at least 2 or 3 weeks, yeah.
Right, of that. And then also reading into the coach speak that Olabisi Johnson was going to be playing above him on the depth chart. I was the biggest Justin Jefferson fan coming out of college, out of LSU. I had him at wide receiver 3 in this draft class above CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor. Like, I was all in on Justin Jefferson, and I let the coach speak play into my ranking of Justin Jefferson versus just saying, no, he's a talented wide receiver, and talented wide receivers get on the field. And so I think moving forward, that's something that I just need to factor in more, is don't listen to the coach speak heading into the offseason. Let's, or heading into like training camp and into the regular season. lean into my, the talent, what I see watching these guys coming out of college. That's what I need to lean on heading into next season.
All right, before we keep going, let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected, guys. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with zero out-of-pocket expenses. Join today. Never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Look, insurance does not always cover the full cost of a medical emergency. This is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you will get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code Fantasy Pros. No matter where you're at in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection you should not live without. All right, guys. So I think it was completely fair coming into this year, as Tags and I talked about a lot, mostly on the Sunday recap show, Tags, about fading rookie wide receivers, all rookie wide receivers coming into this year because of the weird offseason, because of the lack of preseason games. But you know what sucks, guys? When you fade all rookie wide receivers except one, and that one turns out to be Henry Ruggs. I'm all in. Were you there too, Tag?
I was definitely higher on Ruggs. I had him 6 spots higher than consensus.
Yeah, I had him 10 spots higher.
Well, here you go, guys. I had him at 15 spots higher.
All right, so that's a collective.
Hold on a second. Did you guys have Nelson Aguilar too low?
Yeah.
I had Nelson Aguilar as my 24th ranked. No, look, Henry Ruggs, I don't know if we were all thinking the same thing. You guys can tell me what you were thinking. For me, again, I kind of figured he'd be the full-time slot receiver, and he was just a guy who I felt like of all the rookie wide receivers who needed to get acclimated to their offenses, Ruggs probably needed it the least, because I kind of assumed that it would be much more of the here's a short crossing pattern out of slot, take it to the house like you did on one out of every 4 of your touches in college, and instead it was like, all right, let's just throw
just
deep.
Send him you deep, know, and we'll throw him 3 targets a game.
Right. So I guess it's nice. It's good. Very good. We're all in the same boat. But yes. Good, Yates. You steal my hit, you can steal my miss as well. I was only 10 spots higher. You're crazy with your 16. So, or whatever it was. All right. So we're all on the same page.
So here's a question for you guys now. What do you feel about Henry Ruggs going into 2021?
Ugh.
It depends. It depends on who they bring in. They stick with Nelson Aguilar? Do they re-sign him to a contract?
Right.
Or do they bring in someone who
is that? Brian Edwards. You have Tyrell Williams going to be back, right?
Right.
Oh, so do they bring Williams back? And is he that field stretcher who's only going to get 2 to 3 targets? And then they now move Ruggs to that underneath.
But then Renfrow, the guy that actually played pretty well for them.
Yeah.
Then he's obsolete.
Well, that was the conversation that we had in the offseason, was like, why do you draft Ruggs as high as you did with Williams, and with Renfrow playing as well as he did last
without
year?
Without having a possession style receiver, you know, like a CeeDee Lamb or like a Jerry Judy, those guys might be good at that role.
Maybe. Why not think about that? God, what they must be thinking. I don't know. Who knows what they're thinking? But yeah, for this point, I don't have Ruggs's value to me and where I'm going to have him ranked is going to be completely dependent on what this offseason looked like for the Raiders, because, man, I was so excited about him. And again, I'm looking at it now. I was a little higher on Jefferson than consensus, but again, that's 57 versus 61. I'm not advocating drafting Jefferson.
All right, since you took the easy way out and said it totally depends on whatever, you did this to me all time in season. So I'm going to do
that's
it too.
Fine.
So if you're in a dynasty league, are you buying Henry Ruggs or are you selling at the fact that you're just like, I just want to be done with the situation?
No, I don't think I'd sell him based on being done with the situation. Because again, it is still something where it was a weird year, right? It was a very weird year, and they had an injury coming in with Tyrell Williams, and they weren't able to perform. And I think you have to hope that maybe the coaching staff will be as smart as we are, and we'll look at it and be like, maybe we shouldn't use Ruggs this way. Maybe we should use him in a completely different way and make the most of his skill set. So I'm not selling in Dynasty. Are you guys? I mean, after
I'm
still buying at this point. Tags,
depends
on
the price. I'm not actively buying. I'm not like saying he's a buy low because I don't trust the coaching staff. And John Gruden's tied there for a long time. Greg Olsen's terrible.
Yeah.
Two months ago, I got Henry Ruggs in a dynasty league for Tua Tagovailoa and Joshua Kelly.
In a single quarterback?
Yep. You can get Ruggs super cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would run to do that. I love it. All right. So let's finish up here, guys. Let's do this. Let's do one more hit, one more miss, and then I'll let you, without going into depth, if you have more guys that you want to talk about, if you've jotted down, we can kind of buzz through them really quickly. But give me, let's start with you, Tags. Give me one more hit that you'll go, then we'll do misses each, and then you guys can run through a couple of other guys if you have anybody.
Yeah, I'll say that I had Marquise Brown as someone that was no more than like a borderline wide receiver three, that he was just in too low of a volume of offense. And, this is the hit or miss thing. This is where we always have trouble, and that's why projecting the NFL is not a perfect science, right? It's the same reason that I faded Keenan Allen, right? Because it wasn't the talent, because I like Marquise Brown as a talent. But he hasn't proven it the way that Keenan Allen has, which is obviously why I was even lower on Brown. But it was more about the offense, knowing that Lamar Jackson was going to see a decline in touchdown percentage, regress a little bit as a passer. But Marquise Brown, just not enough targets to go around. And I remember so many people calling me out on that one and saying, you're going to regret this. He's going to finish a top 20 wide receiver. And I got to give kudos to a few of you guys. A few of my followers on Twitter actually tweeted at me at the end of the year and apologized, saying, you were right about Marquise Brown. He was not what we thought he would be. And that's always nice to hear. I mean, I'm not here to take victory laps, but it's more about understanding the process and going through it. And that's why this show has been so much more fun, because we didn't do this last year. And this is turning into a very good exercise, I think, for all parties involved.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. And I was definitely someone who thought, I just wanted the Ravens to increase slightly their historically low pass volume, and I really liked Brown coming into the year. Yeah. What did he finish? I believe wide receiver 37 on the year. So yeah, all right, I like it. How about you, Yates? Give me a hit.
A hit. I'm going to do half and half here. I'm going to give myself half a star for each of these players. Jonnu Smith. Okay. He was tight end 16 in ECR, tight end 7 in my rankings. Finishes the tight end 10, which more so speaks to the tight end position as a whole, that Jonnu Smith still finishes the top 10 tight end.
Yeah.
But we all saw the talent. We all saw the opportunity, what it meant when he actually got the opportunity in this offense. So it tailed off. He wasn't a reliable fantasy asset over the last half of the season, but that first part, he was just on fire and was winning you matchups. And then the other half star that I'll give, and I mentioned him earlier, is T.Y. Hilton. He was wide receiver 26 in ECR. I had him at wide receiver 46 in my rankings. End of the year, he finishes the wide receiver 40. So it was more so, I mentioned it earlier, Dan, saying like, I faded T.Y. Hilton because, one, his age, like he hadn't played a full 16-game season since 2017. He hadn't been super productive since Andrew Luck was his quarterback. And now you had Phillip Rivers stepping in. Like, there was a ton of factors here that I was just willing to let someone else draft T.Y. Hilton. Paid off. I was looking like a genius throughout the first part of the year. And then he came on towards the back half. So that's why I give a half star here for T.Y. Hilton.
By the way, when I'm looking at the finishes, I don't know about you guys, I'm trying to cut it off at week 16 for me. So Yates, you're actually even a little, because that's when the fantasy season ends for me. Sure. So for me, Yates, you're even a little more right on both those guys, because Hilton finished as the wide receiver 43 after 16 weeks, not 40. And Jonnu Smith finished as the tight end 9 after 16 weeks. So even a little better for you. But yeah, I mean, John is a hit for sure. And I wouldn't go too high on him. I was always teasing you about him. I liked him. I wasn't, sad to get him on any teams, but I wasn't going after him. Here's a guy. I want to point this one out because I think it was you, Yates, but one of you guys, when I said this, I kind of scoffed a little bit. I remember saying, look, I'm waiting on tight end because I think there are, and I think I said 21 names that can finish as a tight end 1. 21 of these guys, which in a pinch, I'm willing to draft as my tight end 1 because I think there's a viable point. The last guy on that list was Eric Ebron. And I feel like it's sort of scoffed. Sorry if I'm attributing that to you, Yates, unnecessarily.
I'll find out where I had him.
I don't know necessarily. But, I mean, he was 21 in ECR, and I had him around there anyway. So it wasn't like I was going there.
Oh, this
but
is
going to
be good. Where did you have him? Where did you have him?
I don't know, because I had him wherever ECR was. So whatever that says, because I don't
15,
have him on the list.
And his ECR was 20.
What? All right. Well, maybe it was you. Maybe it was Tags.
I had him at 20, right in line with ECR.
All right, great. Maybe it was my mom. I don't know. But somebody, when I said that, because I remember saying, I'm just going to wait, because I really do think that at this point. Now, another one of the guys on the list was like, Chris Herndon has a chance to finish as a tight end 1. But I do specifically remember that Ebron was the last guy on the list. And I remember somebody, I can't remember who it was, being like, there's just no chance. And Ebron, in 16 games, finished as the tight end 12. And again, this is just something where tight end is terrible. And unless it's Jonnu Smith or something, a tight end that I was higher on a little bit was Rob Gronkowski, which I didn't point out because I know one of you, and I think Yates, but I think both of you guys were like, why is Rob Gronkowski at whatever he was, ECR 11? Although Yates, you want to tell me, you probably had him at like
ECR. He was at 13. I had him at 14.
No, okay. What about you? We'll talk about, do you want me to just go into Rob Gronkowski? Because he's on my list.
Okay, so Gronkowski, I'll list very quickly as a hit of mine. I had him 10th. and he was 13th. I remember I was so, and this was really when I started with the podcast kind of with you guys. You guys have been doing this for months. And I was so like tiptoeing in. I was like, they don't seem to want Rob Gronkowski. I don't really know if I'm ready to come in and be like, draft Rob Gronkowski as a tight end. But I was fine with him. And again, most of it was about A, all your tight ends stink in fantasy. And B, it was very much of a, I don't know how much I want to write off to injury. Because if he's not injured, I don't think he's going to come out of retirement just to block and just to play 30% of the snaps. I think he's going to get enough of a role. And I think as he gets into game shape, he'll be useful enough to finish as a top 12 tight end. So I had him 10. So that's a mini hit for me. But yeah, Yates, go ahead. If he's a miss, go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, definite miss here. Tight end 13 in ECR. I had him at 23 heading into the year. And he finishes a top 10 tight end. So yeah, it was, again, this is the theme that I want to take away from Rob Gronkowski was that blurb that came out that like he's going to be very, you know, underutilized in this offense. He'll just be primarily used as a blocker. You're going to see OJ Howard, whatever that was towards the start of the season. I bought into that and that made me fade Rob Gronkowski significantly. And that did not
work. Hold on. I don't know if this is that much of a miss, though. Like, to be fair, if OJ Howard does not get hurt, Rob Gronkowski is not what he was in 2020.
So he's probably not what he was in 2020, but we don't really, I mean, tags.
Howard was better than him at the start of the year.
I agree, but also it wasn't just that he was like, well, Howard's there, so Rob Gronkowski's not good. Rob Gronkowski looked like he was running in mud for the first three games of the season. We talked about it every time. We were watching and we were like, sorry, dude, you shouldn't have come out of retirement. You clearly are not ready for this. But once you got to week, I don't know, six or something like that, then you were like, oh, okay, this looks not peak Gronk, but much better. So
it's kind of like Antonio Brown, right? Like Antonio Brown has looked like the last couple of weeks. It's like that's old AB right there, dude. And that's a problem for opposing defenses.
You better. We'll get to that when we get to the playoff predictions here. But yeah, I agree. But so that's part of it, Tex. I'm not ready to say that if Howard stays healthy, you're not going to see this from Gronk. Because again, for me, you just watching it, just the eye test, this was a different Gronk over, you know, the last two thirds of the season once he got into game shape. So I do think that's all right, Tex. Give me a miss for you.
Miss for me, Kenyon Drake. This one hurts the most, I think, because this is an early round pick that I missed on. That I don't want to do that. Like what I always tell people, I said that you cannot win your fantasy league in your first two rounds, but you can lose it. Yeah. I just relied on a small sample size from Kenyon Drake. You know, it was eight games with the Cardinals where he was the number four running back in fantasy, and it seemed like he was a three down back that they had kind of moved on. They got rid of David Johnson. They applied the transition tag to Drake. He was getting 73% of the opportunities before his injury. So it was like everything, and it's going back to the AJ Green thing. It's like the process, everything that I thought that Kenyon Drake would get, he did. But all of a sudden Kyler Murray started to steal some of those goal line touchdowns, and it was like, uh-oh, that's removing some of that upside. All of a sudden he's not used as a wide receiver, which earlier in his career with the Dolphins, he was a third down back. Like that was his primary role. So I had no idea what was happening. So that part was a little lessening. I don't think people could have anticipated him getting one or two targets per week. I don't think anybody would have guessed that. But the fact that he was getting like 73% of the touches, I think the process was right on him, but the result wasn't. And we just didn't have a player that had given us a large enough sample size to trust as a late first round, early second round pick. So that's the one I saved for last, just because I wanted to express some gratitude to people I want to say I'm sorry to you guys about Kenyon Drake, because that was one that I really, that it sucks missing on him. AJ Green is a seventh round pick. I don't care. Kenyon Drake, it sucked missing on him.
Well, how bad were you? I mean, ECR was 11 tags. I know you're not just comparing it to where you had him versus ECR, just more of where you were.
I had him at 10 in the end, because I did move him down a little bit because there were guys like Clyde Edwards-Helaire who jumped up a little bit. And by the way, some people will say Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a miss. I'm not even going to consider that a miss, because Edwards-Helaire was the RB11 when Le'Veon Bell went there. So he already was an RB1. It wasn't like as exciting as we wanted it to be. But I don't think it was that much of a miss. Drake was more of a miss on my part.
Yeah. All right. I think that's fair. I had him at 10-2, Tex. And again, I don't think any one of us saw it sort of shaking out exactly this way. So
that
I get
potential ankle injury in the beginning part of the season, too, may have played a role.
All right, so I'll finish up with somebody, again, not a top pick, but somebody who I was definitely recommending drafting sort of as a flex position for sure. I had him at the RB28. He was ECR 35 at running back. He finished 45th at running back. And that's Zach Moss. Now, you want to say, well, he missed four games this year. So, of course, that's fine. But he was 48th among running backs in half PPR points per game. And I think this is just, look, we do some prop. I can do some prop betting here on, DraftKings in New Hampshire. And I had the under on Josh Allen rushing touchdowns at 7.5. He scored 8. I thought they'd protect Allen a little more when they got down to the goal line. I thought they'd lean into the running game a little bit more. And Tags, we talked about this with, this just was a different offense, I think, than I expected necessarily to see this year once they added Stephon Diggs, and should have probably read the tea leaves there. And I did think that Moss was going to be more valuable. And I do think that if Moss stayed healthy the full season, he would have been the more valuable Bills running back. It did turn out to be Singletary. But, for me, Moss was a guy who I recommended. I said I felt like, within a couple of weeks, you'll be able to draft him. You'll be able to start him as a flex play. And that just wasn't the case. So I was way ahead of him in ECR. He finished way behind ECR. So that's certainly a miss for me. But again, hopefully it's not, like we said, Tags, like when you're talking about AJ Green, they're not somebody who you have to waste like a ton of draft capital on at the very least. But it certainly is somebody who I was recommending drafting. Why don't we finish up, guys, with any other names that you have? You can go through misses. I'll start with you, Tags, misses or hits or whatever you want to do. Any other notable names that stuck out to you if you have any?
Hits, I mean, there were a few on there. I like DK Metcalf. I said if you're drafting for upside that he has top 10 potential. I liked Darren Waller a lot. I know a lot more than most people. I was willing to draft him in the fifth round. Deontay Johnson liked him a lot more than ECR.
I faded him, by the way. He was on my list of misses. I didn't want him coming into there.
As wrong as I was on Kenyon Drake, I faded a running back in that range that was a hit for me, Josh Jacobs. And people could talk about this all they want. I will not draft. I said that he was more of an RB2 than he was a first rounder. Was he more valuable than Kenyon Drake? I guess a little bit. I mean, but not much. He was not an RB1. I know he finishes like a top 12 running back, but if you three touchdowns in week one against the Panthers. And from there, he was an RB1 a couple times through the season. He basically wasn't used in the passing game, which is what I expected. And then as the misses go, Edwards-Helaire was someone that I teetered on. Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz were two guys that I felt like I also were good values in drafts, especially Wentz. I said that he was a guy that basically gives you a QB1 performance more than half the time. And there's only a handful of quarterbacks that can say that. So I felt like he was a good late round value, and that didn't pan out. And Zach Ertz obviously fell off a cliff. I don't even know where he ends up next year, but it was pretty sad to see.
Yeah, I predict Seattle. That's just my off-the-cuff prediction for Zach Ertz. How about you, Yates? You want to give a couple of hits, hit, misses, whatever you got?
Yeah, the hit that I'll just mention, the other one that I had written down, was Evan Engram. He was tight. Mm-hmm. He was drafted as a sixth tight end off the board. I know that for a fact. He was ranked there, too. I said, do not draft Evan Engram, and he finishes the tight end 16, or that's through week 17, so I don't know where he finished through week 16. But let's please stop drafting Evan Engram every single year as the tight end 6 off the board. I would not be shocked, though, to see next year that he's right back in that spot.
So where did you have him, Yates?
I had him at 10.
Okay. Yeah, I had him at 9 as well. We were talking about that. There was a guy who we kept being like, why? What? Right. Why?
Exactly.
The targets aren't going to be there. Yeah, go
exactly.
ahead.
And then misses was Ryan Tannehill. I faded Ryan Tannehill. I did have him one spot above ECR, which was at 18, but still finishes as a top 10 quarterback to the efficiency. I'm done doubting Ryan Tannehill. He's just so damn good.
Never doubt a Titan at all. Can I ask you guys, I don't know if you can look it up, but if you go to the running back, if you have the report up, where you guys actually had James Robinson?
Oh, actually, ranked? I meant to bring him up. I had him at 50, and ECR was 73, so I had him 23 spots higher.
I had him 46.
Oh,
so I don't want to bring.
I don't want to.
What about you? Oh, there,
I had him at 54.
Yeah. Okay. So
all we all
way
had him draftable.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to really take that as a hit because I wasn't out there being like, go get James Robinson, you know?
It that was happened sort of at that so point. Late, too. It did. And you just had no idea what
but
the hell
to be
that
fair,
situation
Dan,
was going
to
be.
Your Leonard Fournette take, the whole idea that you wanted to draft him again, James Robinson essentially turned into Leonard Fournette and the role that you thought he'd have in that offense.
Exactly.
So your take on Fournette may not have been wrong. It's just, it's a good thing that he got out of there so you don't have to find out.
Yes. Right. No. And again, and that was, I do remember thinking when it was like, okay, well, it's not like I'm running out of my way to get James Robinson or anything like that, but it was sort of like, okay, somebody's going to have this type of role and it might as well be him. So we all kind of just moved him up. So that's a collective good call by us. Really, there isn't anybody else who was too crazy. I mentioned Gronk already. You know, the it's funny, guys. I look back and like I don't remember really giving a strong consideration to my favorite player in the NFL, who's of course Logan yes. Thomas. But I was really glad to see that I was seven spots ahead of him in consensus for 33rd versus 40. It's just little things like that. But there were nobody else that I was like really in. For the misses tags, we talked about it. I mean, I faded Deontay Johnson. I just did not like it this year. He finished the 20th wide receiver in 16, and he was ECR 37. And tags, you said you had him, what was it, top 30?
Deontay Johnson, I had, I think, at 29.
Yeah,
I had him,
okay.
I had him at 28.
Yeah, no, I faded him. I had him at 42.
Dan, where did you have Logan Thomas?
33rd.
Oh, I was 34. I was like, am I the new yes. Logan Thomas guy?
Never.
I had him at 39.
Unless Yates is going to be like, I had him at
29. Right? Don't worry. I'm not all right, yes. on Logan Thomas.
I will forever. I need a Logan Thomas t-shirt for sure. Okay. So that's where other guys I was a little bit lower on that I'll just point out is Jonathan Taylor, who I was 23rd versus 19th. Again, I can't foresee, no idea what would have happened had Marlon Mack not been injured necessarily, whether Taylor would have,
gosh,
you know, gone
about
on
Marlon Mack.
Yeah, right, exactly. Who I was slightly higher on than consensus, and Laura a little bit on J.K. Dobbins. So it was 36 versus 32. Not a huge deal. He finished 28th, but certainly guys who I was not advocating drafting necessarily, specifically where they were going and all that stuff. And it is something where, again, fitted him incorrectly. So there you have it. There are some hits and misses that we had this year. This is a fun exercise.
It was.
Guys.
I like this.
It's really interesting to look back, especially with how amazing we are on James Robinson. Okay, let's get to the playoffs, guys. Let's talk about some playoff predictions here. I'll go through the wild card rounds, and then I assume we won't have the exact same winners of the wild card round, so we can just go ahead. How about the Bills taking on the Colts? Yates, who's going to win it?
That's the Bills.
Tags?
Bills team is extremely hot right now.
They are so good right now, which is great to watch. I agree. Seahawks against the Rams. Tags, what do you
it's
think?
It's the Seahawks.
Yates.
Seahawks, because I don't think Jared Goff, even if Jared Goff comes back,
let's
I still
be
think
real.
Seahawks.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. I agree. Seahawks. Yates, Bucks versus the Washington football team.
Bucks, easy. They're going to blow them out.
How about you, Tex?
I don't know if they're going to blow them out. That defense is pretty good, but yeah, it's definitely the Bucks.
Yeah, it's just got to be the Bucks. It's funny because Matt Parral hosted the Daily Juice. He's been, he likes Washington, but we're going to debate that on the Betting Pros NFL podcast.
So is that sure Washington that. Straight up or Washington against the spread?
By the way, yes, I know it's not a gambling show, but I teased now that the Bucks are up to 8.5. So I did the little 2-team teaser, taking the Bills from 6.5 to laying 1.5, and then the Bucks from laying 8.5 to laying 2.5. That's the play, by the way, for me on those games. But I don't know. I think that the Washington football team is going to beat the Bucks, let alone the spread. I disagree. I'm going with the Bucks. How about Baltimore? Real good game. Playoff rematch. Baltimore versus Tennessee. Tags, what do you think?
This one's like a really close one. I think I have to go with Baltimore considering the run that they're on. And it really comes down to the fact that Tennessee is getting no pressure and they have zero defense. And this should be one of the fun games to watch, honestly, because I really look forward to watching this one. But I still think the Ravens are going to pull it out.
What about you, Yates?
Yep, completely. If Tennessee had a stronger defense, I think it would be closer of a decision for me, but I got to go with Baltimore.
So this is where my head says the Ravens, my heart says the Titans, and I'm going to go with my heart because, again, this is basically I'm just never doubting the Titans.
I'm rooting for the Titans.
No matter what. Yeah, I'm rooting for the Titans, of course. As you know, Will will be dressed in his nonstop Titans gear. But I don't know. I kind of think that the biggest thing you can have against the Ravens, it was sort of a little bit, Ravens are playing extremely well right now. The big thing that you can have against the Ravens is to not be scared of them. In the same way that when you face the Patriots, I always thought with Brady, like the biggest thing you could bring into a game was to not be like, oh God, it's the Patriots. How are we going to do it? And I think that right now, when you're going up against Baltimore, most teams probably think that they're going to find a way to win this game. I think because of last year in the playoffs specifically, I think the Titans can get past that. I kind of have a feeling the Titans are going to win. So I'm going to go with the Titans in this one. How about, Bears versus the Saints. Yates, optimism.
Saints,
what do you got?
Saints are going to smack them.
I mean, we don't know if Kamara's going to play. We don't know if Michael Thomas.
I think
Kamara's
going to
play.
Conveniently,
that game was put on Sunday.
Yeah, conveniently, yeah.
Would it have mattered to you guys?
Kamara?
If Kamara did not play?
I mean, it would be
a better game.
I think it would be a better game. I think it would be closer, but yeah,
and
Kamara
honestly,
and Thomas.
Honestly, I think I like the Bears plus 10.
I like the spread. Yeah.
But that, the Bears are not going to, they're not going to win, but I think it could be, to get 10 points in a playoff game, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, enjoy a playoff game, boys. Okay. Have some fun with it. Enjoy it when the Saints inevitably win by 21 points. Cleveland versus Pittsburgh. I don't know if you guys had a different feeling about this game before all the COVID news that came out, but Tags, what do you think?
No, this is the Steelers, and the Steelers were right. So I like that the Bills played their players in week 17 because that's a team that was rolling. You want to keep that momentum going. Same thing with the Bucs, that offense. But the Steelers were right to rest Ben Roethlisberger some of the players in that offense. I actually like that. And the Browns, you know, this COVID stuff they're dealing with, just lost Joel Bitonio on the offensive line. He might be the best offensive lineman on the team. So if that team is going to struggle, they're going to struggle to run the ball a little bit against Pittsburgh, who is banged up on defense, but I'll take Pittsburgh.
And their coach. They're not going to have their coach with Sabatsky. So that's also a big loss. How about you, Yates?
I'll take the Steelers.
All right, so it sounds like we're in agreement on everything except for the Titans and the Ravens. So I'll start off. This should be then in the divisional round, the Chiefs taking on, assuming that we all have this the same way, the Chiefs taking on then for you guys, the Ravens, I believe, right? Because the Ravens will be the lower seed. So, Tags, what do you think about that? Chiefs versus Ravens, who comes out on top?
The Chiefs.
How about you, Yates?
You got to go with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I have the Chiefs versus the Titans, but I do think that the Chiefs are going to come out on top. Bills versus Steelers. Yates, what do you think?
Bills. Going Bills again.
Tags.
I'm going to go Steelers in that one.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. I'm going to go with the Bills. That first game was actually fascinating between the two teams because that first half, I actually liked the Steelers getting 2.5 in that game. That first half, you look like they were great. And it's just about how well coached the Bills are that they came out of that half and they were just a completely different team. I am going to go with the Bills here. So, Tags, you have the Chiefs against the Steelers in the AFC Championship game. Yates, you and I have the Chiefs against the Bills. Let's go to the Packers against the Bucks. Tags, what do you think there?
Packers.
How about you, Yates?
I want to take the Packers, but we talked about Antonio Brown earlier and just the way that this Bucks offense is moving right now. And with Tom Brady's playoff experience, I actually might go the Bucks. This will be a super, super close game. I cannot wait to watch this one if this actually does play out this way with the seeding, but I'll go the Bucks here, actually.
I am going with the Bucks as well. I love Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I'm going with the Bucks, man. I just think this is...
You will rue the day.
I probably will. I hate going against Aaron Rodgers, and I certainly don't have any interest in rooting for Tom Brady, given my situation, but nevertheless, I will go with the Bucks. How about the Saints versus Seattle? Yates, what do you think?
I'll go Saints here.
How about you, Tess?
My preseason pick was actually the Saints Chiefs. That was my that was my pick for the Super Bowl this year. I'm actually veering off of that now. I'm taking the Seahawks.
Really? To beat the Saints? Yes. Interesting. I'm going to go with the Saints. Funny because Yates was just saying, how in the world did the Seahawks, you know, win 12 games right before we get
started? I think
you guys are
overlooking the Seahawks right now.
All right. I think you're overlooking the Saints. Take that. All right. So let's get to the championship game. Yates, we're Chiefs versus Bills. What do you think?
I think this is going to be a hell of a game. I, again, cannot wait to watch it if it does play out this way. I still got to go with the Chiefs here, though.
Ditto for me, man. This is going to be a game, assuming it goes that way, where I can't wait to see. I can certainly see the Bills pulling this game out, but I'm just not betting against the Chiefs. Tags, you have the Chiefs against the Steelers. How do you see
that? The Chiefs.
One? Yeah. So we all have the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl here. Yates, you and I then, sounds like we both have the Bucks against the Saints, right? Yep. In the NFC Championship game. Who's going to win?
These are like really fun. You have Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and then you have Drew Brees and Tom Brady. At this point, this deep in the playoffs, Drew Brees' arm, I just don't know what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a super close game again, but I'm going to take the Bucks.
No, I'm taking the Saints in this one. I have a little more faith in the Saints, I think, and Brees than you guys do. I realize that his arm strength is certainly diminished, but I think when you see that team at full strength with hopefully a healthy Michael Thomas, and they put him on IR for this reason to say we're right. If he is 100% healthy, Alvin Kamara 100% healthy, the defense kind of strong, ready to go with Brees there, and they're hopefully indoors for the entire thing. I think they're going to be strong. So I'm going to go with the Saints. Tags, you have in this one the Packers against the Seahawks. So what do you think?
I do. This one I was really torn on when I got to. Ultimately, I'm going to go with the Packers. Just been a more consistent team this year. But again, I think you guys are sleeping on the Seahawks. That defense over the second half of the year has really, really stepped up with Jamal Adams back in the field healthy. The cornerbacks have been playing better, honestly, without Quentin Dunbar. They've been playing better. And Russell Wilson, I feel like this is almost like on like half throttle. Like this offense was kind of coasting by. Like, we're fine. Like we're coasting by and it's playoff time now. Russ has been here before. He's played here before. And if we see the Seahawks in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, it would not shock me at all. It really wouldn't. But I'll still go with the Packers just because they've been a more consistent team overall.
Okay. All right. So, Tags, you have the Chiefs against the Packers, right, in the Super Bowl? Who's winning?
I'm going to go... You know what? It sounds wrong to pick against the Chiefs, but again, Aaron Rodgers is like, this is the FU tour, and he's gone on it, and he's done it, and he's won it, and I think that he's getting the MVP, and I don't think he's done. I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
I wouldn't be disappointed to see it.
I'm rooting for the Super Bowl, though. I want to see Mahomes versus Rodgers.
Yeah. All right. How about you, Yates? You've got the Chiefs against the, did you say the Bucks?
Bucks.
Or the Saints?
I forget.
The Bucks.
So I'll take the Chiefs to repeat.
Okay. And I have the Chiefs against the Saints, and I am going to go with my preseason. We did, you guys know, there was a sports book draft that we did with the FSGA, and I had the first pick, and you can draft any prop you want. And my first prop that I drafted was 10-1 Saints to win the Super Bowl. I thought that was great value then. Thought right now I'm happy with it. I think this, I don't know, guys, strikes me as Drew Brees gets to ride off into the sunset.
It would be amazing. I want to see that.
Find a way to beat the Chiefs and they win the Super Bowl. So my Super Bowl prediction is Saints. Tags, yours is Packers. Yates, yours is Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. All right. Well, guys, I don't know about you. This is amazing now with three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday. I cannot wait. We're going to be back talking about the DFS, of course, for the playoffs, for this super, I guess, wild card weekend, if that's what it's called. But guys, this was a ton of fun. This whole year has been a ton of fun. We'll be back continuing. I know we've had some people on Twitter being like, I missed the podcast. Don't worry. We're not going anywhere. No. We'll still be here. Not quite the same frequency, but we will be here each and every week. Don't worry, talking to you guys. In the meantime, don't forget to enter this signed Deontay Johnson jersey giveaway. Go leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Then go to fantasypros.com/contest. Thanks to Magic Spoon, delicious, healthy, kid-friendly, everything you want in a cereal. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Use the code fantasypros for free shipping. Thanks also to Pristine Auction. Don't just take my word for it. Go to pristineauction.com. Thousands of auctions every single day. Go to pristineauction.com, pristineauction.com. Finally, thanks to AirMedCare Network. Remember, protect you, protect your loved ones, get the peace of mind you deserve. Just go to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code fantasypros. You'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. We'll be back later this week talking DFS. I'll talk to you then.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.